Gurnapati Gum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jyeshthara Jam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannuti Bhisseda Satanam Om Shri Maha Gurnapataye Namaha Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvina Vadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Vedanta dindimas tattvam ekam udghoshayanti yat astam purasta tattejah dakshinamurti sanghitam. So in that first verse, worth memorizing, remembering its meaning and purport, because it helps to give the overview of what we're studying here, like this, because what happens is the drum beat Vedanta, we always have to listen to, bring ourselves back to the beat of Vedanta. We're always, mind is always going to everything else, and to remind again and again, remind us to, because it's so easy to get lost in everything else, even after you look into this for a while. So to bring this back, bring my attention back to it. And like the loud drum is, somebody has a big kettle drum, then it's not something that you can miss the noise. It's very strong. So here also the statements of Vedanta are very strong, very bold. But then what happens, so if we listen to them, if we really listen and think about what they're saying, it totally shakes, should totally shake us up, because I consider myself, I'm this person. I have my small life and these issues I have to deal with, all these problems. And then it's looking a completely other way. What do you mean by that? What issues? Right? It's a dream, right? Like this. But the thing is, if we really listen and look at it, what an impact it can have, like this. And by not listening, as we said in the introduction, you don't know the law, that doesn't help, right? Just be, your responsibility to know. So I'm alive. It helps us to, it points, the Vedantic teachings help to point to investigate, I'm alive, I'm a conscious being, what does that mean? So by taking myself to be something different than the consciousness itself, then all of the side effects come around from that. All the side effects of birth, death, trouble, pain, sorrow, all these things, which I want to get rid of. But then it's saying, hey, look, you can get rid, you're free of that. You just have to learn how to look from a slight different angle, but it falls on deaf ears, unfortunately, a lot of the time. So hopefully we manage to listen a little bit and, you know, have it sink in. That's the whole idea of looking into these things. So we reach number 72. That's where we're at today. So let's read that verse here.
Namata bhiniveshitvat bhasha vesha matrataha bhasha vesha matrataha muktir vinatma vijnanat iti vedanta dindimaha
iti vedantar dindimaha. One way you know you're missing something is it doesn't go on the meter. That's one of the reasons for the meters, is when you remember something, like some Gita verse you remember, and then it's not fitting in the meter, meaning you're missing something, because the second quarter, should I miss the na at the beginning. So it's na nabhasha vesh nabhasha veshamatrataha. So I was missing that na, the no at the beginning of it. That's why it was off. In any case, one cannot gain liberation by religious or linguistic fanaticism. Vedanta declares that liberation cannot be gained without knowledge of the self. So here, very harshly talking about what happens a lot of the time when we go into religion or any ideology we hold on to strongly. This is what it's discussing. So abhinivesha here, being very fixated. This is in the negative case, very fixated. I take something and this is how it is, right? I belong to this and this a group. That means you belong to the other group, forget it. You don't have a chance to get into the heaven. Like this kind of idea, right? The positive way can be very committed to something. So here, of course, it's talking about the caution about the negative aspect like this. So this is what it's discussing. In the Mandukya Karika, this is the text, the commentary on the Mandukya Upanishad of Gaudapada Acharya, Shankara's guru's guru. There, one thing he talks about, he says, what happens is people have something they use to uplift themselves, which is very useful and helpful. You know, you have some sort of belief, some religion, some system, it helps to uplift you, so it's very good. But then afterwards it binds you too. So I feel lost in this world. I feel down, right? I feel poor me, what's life for? Then I find some sort of religious group of some sort of the other. Doesn't matter which one it is here. And then it helps. I get something and I feel better. So it's wonderful. So it helps me. Good. I'm getting somewhere. But now what happens? Now, afterwards, I should keep growing, right? But what happens, though, is I get stuck in that, and now I identify with that group, and then identify with the ideas there which help me to grow, but now to grow further, it stops you from growing further. This is what happens. Swami Ram Surupanandaji, he used to say, it makes you into a bonsai, right? Bonsai, they keep cutting it back. It can't grow further. And what happens in general with religious doctrines, in general what happens is it gives you, one thing gives you a sense of belonging, community, gives you some sort of idea there's something greater. So there's a lot of good in that. But what can also happen, the danger afterwards, is that it doesn't then encourage you to keep investigating and thinking. Go to any religion, you go in and then you ask, well, why do it like this? Because that's how it's been done and we were told to do it. Right? So that's okay. If you find some way to do with bhav, with spirit and this, it's very good. But even if you do it with spirit, if you do the same thing day in, day out, very hard to keep the spirit up. It's very hard not to have it be mechanical. Like this, you know, I go visit our ashram, Shivananda ashrams, some of the time, and you know, I used to be there, and I know what it's like to live there. Very, very wonderful. But then I know that when I go, and then people have their evening satsang or morning satsang, the meditation, chanting, talk, all this, very nice. Then okay, now we're going to finish. Now starting to chant the mantras. Om Tremakami Jami Sugani Purushvaram Vadakumanu Chiram Kshamita. And it's not the people's fault that it comes out very technical, but if you're there for years and you're chanting same thing every day, very hard not to have it be mechanical, right? And then you'll say, okay, today you'll chant a little bit of a different mantra. No, that isn't how our guru taught, so we're not chanting this. This is what happens. So then I feel, and I say, okay, why do we chant this? What is the meaning of it. Yes, the meaning is looked into in some places, yes. But in general, to think outside the box is very hard. This is the danger. And what one other thing we have to be cautious with these things then is also, is that I feel I'm a limited individual. I want to learn how to go beyond this limited individual. So I'm this person that I take myself to be, born in this place, have these problems, have to face whatever other troubles in life. Now this thing that's supposed to give a solution, the religion, what it does, it adds other things to. Now, on top of being this limited individual, if I don't do A, B, C, then I'm not going to go to heaven. And if I follow the other ones, then I don't know. So it starts adding more, can add more and more to this. This is the danger of this. So now, of course, this isn't, again, the idea isn't to look down on anybody, any religion, any philosophy, nothing like this, because many can be a nice attempt in order to explain what is beyond explanation, like this, to uplift. So there's nothing wrong with. The problem is when my ego identifies with it. That's the problem. Because it's something to help me grow, but then by identifying with it, now I trap myself. Now I add more attributes to myself. So what happens is attributes that are added for a spiritual reason should be something to help me grow and something that is, what is the word not coming to my mind now? Not temporary, but something provisional, right? It's a provisional thing to help me grow like that. Because I'm not, I'm not the Jew or the Christian or the Muslim or Hindu or this, because that's just an idea, right? I'm a living being. I'm a conscious being. I identify with something like this. I get initiated in something or take some rite or whatever. Something provisional for me to step on, identify with, to help to pull me further. But then later I have to go beyond that too. It doesn't mean that I have to drop, okay, I'm going to drop everything from the religion of this. Doesn't have to be. For some people, maybe it is. Doesn't have to be, but that it doesn't trap me. That's what we have to be very careful, because the ego very much likes to hold on to things like this. And it's here. It's been known very much from older times, because if you take from Jesus' teachings, right, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, but not man for the Sabbath. So if the Sabbath now has become what's controlling, if it's a tool to help me grow, now I have to squeeze myself to fit into that. It should inspire me. I do this discipline to inspire, to help me to grow, to make me more focused, to help to purify my mind, to help to uplift me, then it's good. Otherwise, it's, can cause rigidity. That's the problem, the issue that we can have, that we have to be very careful like this. Now, what happens also when somebody follows some doctrine and they become more fanatic about it in this way, they identify with it more strongly. Others aren't as good, or whichever way they do like that. Usually, in most cases, those people don't really look closely, deeply into what the teachings are. If they look deeply in teachings, it'll be different. Not necessarily studying the text properly or the purport of them. Stays more shallow. What you're just holding on to an idea. What is a doctrine? What is a religion? It's an idea. What more is it? Right? And then also, and the fanaticism is that this is the, this is the word of God. This is how it is. Don't question. Don't ask. Why don't question? Like this. So then it stunts my inquisitiveness, my thinking, and I need to inquire because I want to know. I want to understand. No, don't just do. You'll follow, and then you'll be rewarded. Why will I be rewarded, not the one going to the other place across the street, right? Like this. So it's something that, a warning here to be careful like this. And so anything we get involved in, we stay with, it's very hard not for the ego to get caught up in that. Where Vedanta is saying the opposite, we have to learn how to disidentify, drop the things. So all these things would help to expand my vision, not make it more narrow. A discipline can, disciplining, so I'm narrowing my range of focus, maybe in what I eat and maybe certain things that I do, which is fine. But I understand that that's a discipline I'm taking on because it's going to help me grow. And somebody else not taking on, that's fine. They're doing their thing. That's nothing to do with me like this. So in this way, these are some things to be aware of. Now, when Shankara was alive, a lot of the religions we have today weren't there. The Hinduism we know of today is different. Vedic, not all the rituals. The rituals that are now, different rituals then. The temples we have now, those, it wasn't in that way. The deities, most of the deities worship now, not was worshipped then. It was different. And a lot of the religions are now Christianity, Islam, weren't there like this. So it's not a critique on them specifically, though it's on any religion. Then the two main things you would have, the Vedic vision would be karma and upasana that we've talked about in other times. So in the Vedic religion, you have, first of all, the karma, which is worship. And a lot of the worship, what it would be is you want to get something, right? You want to get to swatara, you want to get to heaven. So you're going to live a certain pure life and do certain rituals. You have a certain desire, that's why you will do it. You want to be wealthy. A lot of people worship Lakshmi Devi. They want to be wealthy. They want more money. Then in the older times, more cattle and gold, maybe. More servants. In this way. So the karma, so the people get stuck in the karma side, like this. Karma meaning worship. Now, what happens is they have to understand, why was the karma there to begin with? And the karma, the earlier portion of the Vedas, is there. Well, first of all, if somebody is more tamasic, right, more lazy, somebody is very lazy, now you say, no, you should meditate. They're going to sit there and they're going to fall asleep, right? You say, get up early with me. You'll wake them up, bring them to sit with you. They're going to sit against the wall and snore away while you're meditating like this. So that's not for them, not the right time and place. For somebody who's lazy, who doesn't have a bigger vision in life, who's more depressed, they need to pull themselves out with action. They need some reward for the activity they're doing. So for that person, yes, work hard, get a degree, you'll make good money, you'll enjoy many things in life. That's needed to pull them out. So a lot of the karma section is for that. Oh, you think you're suffering? Good. Live a pure life, you'll go to a swatara, you go to a greater heaven, you'll enjoy better then. Right? You'll get to a better situation like this. So this is what it's this is the karma like this. But now, a lot in Hinduism, most people that are practicing, the majority in Hinduism, is stuck in the karma, worshipping and praying that it will help me for something. But then the one who starts thinking says, okay, let's say I have the belief, the shraddha, it will do it. It'll take me to something good. And then what? Somebody that used to come to a satsang years back, born Hindu, so he said, doing all this, so I do the worship so that I will get to a better life next time. I said, excellent. And after that, what? Then I'll worship more, I'll get to a better life. Okay, and then what? Better. It's like you have a better car, better car, better car. For what? Why do you have the car for in the first place? You have to think. So what happens is it does this, and also it says, okay, you want to get things, you want to enjoy things, good, do it in a dharmic way, do it in a righteous way that's not causing harm, that's good. For this worship to work, you have to live a very pure life also. So then in this way it helps to go more towards dharma, go more towards a righteous lifestyle, have God be part of it, see, okay, there's something greater than me, something behind everything beyond me, so it helps with this. But then somebody has to graduate from that, says, okay, how much do I already need? I'll get it, and then what? So then one shifts the attention, okay, what is there more behind this? There must be, what is that power behind this that's driving this? So then the growth there goes to the next portion, the Upasana portion of the Vedas. And the Upasana portion is the meditation or mental worship, where thinking, where it's not for something, but then you are visualizing or mental worship of the God, not for something. So that you take some idea of the God and your attention's in that, so expands your vision beyond just some limited vision, like this. This is this next step, like this. And still, there's the deity, the God, whichever it is, older Agni and Vayu, Indra, like this, and the older ones in the behind the forces of nature, the older ones, that's in the Vedic time. No other ones. So idea would be similar. And so that you expand your idea to focus on the power behind everything, something greater than just the limited thing, what's, you know, visible to the eye. Because wanting a result, doing something with the desire to get something back, means I want something tangible. Heaven, meaning I want a tangible. I want to have a tangible, more enjoyable life. That's what it is. Without the pain and suffering, I want to enjoy. That's pretty much it. But then, what is the power behind looking into that? So it expands the vision further. So that's still another step, where still there is some greater powers behind. Let me focus in them. And let me, some expansion, something like this. Still that's still a stepping stone, we say in the Vedas. That also is, because also Upasana, still okay, so you can be close to the deity, merge with the deity, okay, but any deity is still some limited idea. The greatest of all, which we discussed some classes back, the Hiranyagarbha, creator. So there's the creator, the creator still is the highest you can get within this realm of the limited world. Where does this whole thing start from? So Hiranyagarbha Upasana, Hiranyagarbha is usually what God is in the most religions, creator. The creator, sustainer of the world, that which is behind everything. So we'll be with God with qualities. God with qualities means it's not me. Am I the whole power behind the universe that creates this? How can I be this, that whole thing? I can only meditate on that one, or try to, you know, to get close to that one, get absorbed in that one, like this. But those are still qualities. And that's going to be not me, something out there, like this. So this is other step for expansion. Then Vedanta is to go beyond that. Because Vedanta then questions the whole thing of the, I take myself this limited being. What do you mean? Why are you this limited being? What does that mean? I'm a conscious being. Conscious being, what does it mean to be conscious being? You know, you look at the body. Am I this body? I'm aware of the body. How can I be the body? Like this. So Vedanta is to keep looking at it. It points a direction how we can look into it, but then I have to look into it. I have to look into myself as a conscious being like this. So interestingly, in Indian philosophy, they discuss what they call Shad Darshanam, six philosophies like this. Some are still around, some not. There is Nyaya Vaisheshika, Yoga, and one thing goes with the Yoga, not coming to my mind now, and Purvamimamsa, Uttaramimamsa, like this. So six. Purvamimamsa is the earlier part of Vedas, the worship and all this. Karmakanda, which all to do with action, activities, worship and so forth. Uttaramimamsa, Vedanta, like this. Now, in Vedanta, we say, no, that isn't exactly how it is. How Vedanta can't be categorized along with these other visions, because the other are philosophies, doctrines of how the world works, where it was created, and is there a God? What is the God like this? Vedanta says no. Vedanta is talking about it's a vision, it's not a philosophy. Because it's not giving a higher creed, this is how the world is created. Okay, this is what the God is. No, it's saying you have to, for yourself, learn to see beyond that, like this. Any concepts that are given are just some things to help, you know, categorize so that I can, to help me to investigate, not to give me an answer. There's no answer given. What is the God? No. Where's the God? Oh, the God's in heaven. You do this and you go there. No, it doesn't give you that, right? Because that is still some concept, and we're caught up in concepts. So any concepts given, it's just categorization to help us to investigate. Because in the end, it's negation. You negate everything, and what's left out, whatever is non-negatable, abadhitvam, whatever cannot be negated, that's what's left. So first negate everything that can be and see what's there, like this. So Shankara, he constantly refutes the whole idea of the karmakanda, that is the end all, because the original vision of the Vedas was, these are preparations from sattva-tira, from tamas-tirajas, do activities to get something. Then you see, okay, now I have to purify my mind, I have to be more subtle, not be caught up in trying to get to something, because it's always running after something. So it becomes more subtle, more balanced. Then with a more subtle, balanced mind, I can be looking into these things. Where what happens is, in older times, yes, that it was understood. If you're still interested in getting something, getting somewhere, yes, karmakanda, earlier portion is good. But if you don't have those desires, you just want to have a deeper understanding, yes, go to Vedanta now. But what happens over time, slowly, slowly, the karmakandis are trying to say, no, this is everything. Forget, Vedanta is not that. But this is, the whole vision then is put lopsided. It gets messed up like this. This is what happens. Okay. And one important thing with this also is, okay, there's some doctrine, some scripture take. Let's say you say, this is the scripture, the Vedas, they were given, they're apodusheya, they're not given by human thought, by human mind. All this I can say. Very good. We say it's the Upanishad Pramana, they're means in order to help to point out what I am. That's all very good. But what happens is do you need something, somebody to tell you that you are a conscious being, that I am and I know? Does anybody have to point that out to you? If somebody points it out, we'll say, you know, you exist, don't you know that? You'll say, of course I exist. You're aware, didn't you know that? Of course I'm aware. So nobody has to point it out. Now, the Upanishad points out something. You're aware of the body. You're not the body. You're the one who's aware of the body. Now it points it out, but you're the one who's aware of it. You're the one who proves it. And you hear it without your being an awareful being. How can that text even be there for you to hear it? So what comes first? The awareful being or the text, right? I am now, you know, I am now of this religion or that religion, I'm taking this vow or identifying with this role. What's first, you the conscious being or that role, that persona, the religious person persona you put on? Which is first? You the conscious being is first. So for that religious identity or investigating identity, whichever to be there, first there has to be the individual. Without the individual there, you the conscious being. That's first. So actually, that's the real pramanam, the real means of knowledge is you, yourself. Vedanta's saying that's it. But we just got caught up in things, so a bit confused about it. So it's helping to point things out, to sort out what I already am, not what I have to get to, like this. So this is something very important to keep in mind like this. Because Vedanta then helps to sort things out a little so that I can investigate. That's it. So I can push aside what is the unnecessary, you know, not physically necessarily. Some things, yes, physically, maybe I'll push aside because it doesn't pertain to me anymore. But other things through understanding, like this, not identifying with. So these are some things that's pointing out like this. Okay. Now, one other thing that happens is, once I take up a doctrine also, one thing that happens is a lot of the time, then somebody takes up a doctrine, wants other people to follow it too. Why? I like to eat this and this a diet. It's working for me. I can, if it's working for me, I can tell you, you know, I'm eating this, it's very good, it's doing good for me. I can tell you. But then you'll decide and you'll eat what works for your system, right? Then people have to think, why? So if they think that this is the way, what's wrong with the other way? Like this. Why not? Like this. So because has to be some insecurity or some idea of superiority or whatever. Otherwise, why do it? You know, if you're somebody out of the goodness of their heart, they think it's going to help somebody, you can say a few words if they're interested, but more than that, why do you need? Like this. One time, years back, so my wife wasn't too many years in the country, fairly new here. So these people come to the door from I think it's Seventh-day Adventist, whatever it is. They come and they knock on the door and they want to proselytize. So one or two ladies came to the door and they were talking to my wife. And she didn't know what this whole thing is. And they had their magazine, and they're talking about, you know, the promised land, whatever, like this. And they showed her the magazine. She was looking at a picture there, which people living happily and nice plants growing and everything. She said, oh, that's just like the village where I grew up in this. You want some tea? And she brought them in. She was talking to them, telling them the village where she is, feeding them this. They were so touched and everything. They probably forgot that they're trying to convert or something like this. Like this. One thing I've also done, I've tried this and it's very interesting, because the thing is, when somebody has a strong idea, they just hold on to it. They don't want to hear or think, right? This is how it is, that's it. That we should be careful with that, like this. This is how it is. Even we study Upanishad, says something, why is it like that? We don't just nod our head, accept. Yes, Shravanam, you hear. You hear, you listen to. You reflect on. If it doesn't make sense, I have to ask, question it. You know. Of course, we take some, if we're studying something, we take some shraddha, some conviction. Yes, this is will help to point me in the direction, but I have to question and understand it. I not just take it by belief is useless, because again, it just becomes a belief. And then it's a belief. Means I'm not going to think. A belief means I'm not going to think, right? Here, shraddha means I'm investigating. So since I didn't fully understand this point yet, okay, I'm taking it on faith pending my investigation, but I'm going to ask it, but I want to understand it. I'm not just going to take it like that, because otherwise, where's the investigation? Where's the thought? So it's happened to me where somebody proselytizes that way, that they come, you know, of course, because of where we live and everything, then as people come and want to talk about Christianity, not Christianity necessarily, but you should follow Jesus like this. So I've had it where somebody comes like this, and again, not in order to point this specific person or anything, but just the general thing, how the thought then becomes very restrictive. So I say, okay, well, Jesus is all powerful. Yes, yes. He can come in any form, do anything. Yes, yes. Very good. Especially when somebody had the audacity to come into Shivananda Center in New York when I was there and come talk. You go into a different religion, somebody following some other thing and saying like this. So I used this thought discussed and was saying yes, the other saying yes, 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 yes. So then I said, okay, before Jesus was born, 2,000 years before Krishna was born and came to this world, couldn't that be the same one? He came as Krishna, then came as Jesus. No, 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 it's not like that. Why not? How do you know? No, it's not written in the Bible. Well, that's it was before. It's a different time. Why wasn't it the same one? Why not? No, no, it can't be. So Where's the flexibility and thing? Where's now that Jesus is all powerful? Now your powerful or your minister who said it's like this, that's the power and that's the bottom line. So where's the thinking like this? So this is again, the main thing is for us to look that we're not just taking something and following. If we just follow, we don't think. So following something that we understand what and why, and then eventually we want to, we want to be independent, not dependent anything. Physically, totally independent doesn't exist. You have to breathe, right? You need to put some food in the mouth. Doesn't work. And so that's not where I'm going to be independent. But psychologically, I'm leaning on different things. Psychological dependence is the issue. And then psychological dependence, I shift from one thing to the other. Psychologically independence, then, to be totally free, the only way is to know I'm not the psychology itself. Because the mind is always holding on one thing or the other. It's an instrument that I'm thinking I'm bound by it like this. So this is, in Vedanta, this is, we want to look beyond that. Now here, so the mata, this is a school of thought. Any thesis school of thought. And again, it's any school of many, many different schools of thought like this can be wonderful. I earnestly follow. I can go very far. I can get to the truth, no problem. But I have to do it in the right manner in this way, not get caught up in the, small cement, the limited things. I always have to go beyond. Any school of thought, you can find some limitation, something like this, of course, because it's the moment it's in mind, it's a limit, something limited. But then, so we have to be aware not to get caught up in these entrapments. The ego loves to identify with something like this. Now I'm here in the ashram and this, they'll say, okay, now I belong to this, now this is good, and I belong to this group. Where does it end, right? The ones before, no, I was there before as a good station. No, this is the right one, like this. In this way, that it doesn't, we have to be cautious of it like this, okay? Then it also says bhasha. Bhasha, the language. Avesha matrataha. That I am caught up in some idea that this is the language too, right? This is in Sanskrit. If you don't know Sanskrit, if you can't understand Sanskrit, forget it. Your mind will be pure. You won't go to there. In the heaven, they speak Sanskrit. You won't be like this. So also being so caught up in the linguistic aspect. Yeah, you study something, knowing the language, you're useful. If not, you as a conscious being is beyond language. Language comes later. First, you're a conscious being, then you use language. And also language is labeling things. Remember, nama-rupa, there's a concept, I perceive, I see something, and then I tag it, I give it a name. That's language. So language is, I'm tagging, labeling things in this way. So the labeling of things can't label the truth. It's like this. The story is that the grandfather is walking on the beach with the grandson, a small child, walking in the morning, going for a walk. The night before, there was a big wedding of some relative, and some morning they're going for a walk like this. And the child, first time he went to a wedding, big fanfare and a lot of food, a lot of festivities. So then he asked the grandfather, "So grandpa, did you also get married?" He said, I married your grandma. And nowadays they have these little weddings, a few hours. Then it was a whole week festivity. It was so grand, this, blah, 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 like this, to on and on telling about it. "So grandpa, why didn't you bring me to the wedding?" So what happens is, the grandpa is the atma, the consciousness. The grandchild is the mind, right? Concepts and everything. There's first you have to have the consciousness, then you have to have avidya, the ignorance, karana sharira. I forget on that. Then the mind is, then I jump into conclusion of, I bring up other ideas, conclusions, and that's the mind. So how the grandson cannot get to the The mind can't get there. So language will never capture it. How can language capture it? Language is labels of some concepts. It can't point to the truth. It can't grasp the truth like this. So the language that is used helps to, in Vedanta, language is very useful and helps negate things, right? In one of the Upanishads says that it neti neti vachana, by neti neti, anything, any concept, any idea, it's not that. Anything not that. Whatever is can be conceptualized, can be spoken, can be thought of, it's not that. What's left then? It's like this. Or Brahman comes from the root brh, to be big, so expansive, fully expansive, meaning beyond space. What is beyond space is also going to be beyond time, because space and time, they go together. So spaceless, timeless, that's the reality. So the words help to point out like this here, but the words aren't the thing in itself. Because this is one thing, the trap, we have to be careful. We say Brahman, and then somebody will build a concept. What is this Brahman? Right? Just like people build a concept, this is the God, right? Okay, this is the God, they'll say. And where's the God you find in this kind of temple? Or I have to go to this kind of heaven that my group says, not what the other ones say, the God is there, like this. So some concept. So if I build a concept, what is Brahman? That concept then kills it, because then I've an idea what it is. But Brahman isn't an idea. Are you an idea? Right. All the ideas are something. I have an idea about myself, which is my persona. Now that persona is also very flexible, constantly changing. But persona, some idea. But I'm not an idea, right? So the language, somebody thinks the language is what's going to grab. The scripture is language. That won't do it. So that's why the Vedantic is, the language itself is helping to point things out, truths that are there, for me to recognize, not that the language is going to capture it, that you can capture within a language in any way. Not possible. So, and all sound is vibration. All sound is the vibration of the universe, like this. So what, everything is vibration. So you can't capture it in a specific language like this, like that. The teaching is the important thing. Somebody can have in Sanskrit itself, and it's going to teach all sorts of nonsense, or something that isn't useful for my spiritual growth. Somebody else can be speaking in any language, but then teaching the same thing like this. It is helping to point me in the direction of the truth. So that's why we can't say language is it. So if it's not there, muktihi vina atma vijnanat. Without self-knowledge, there is no emancipation, no freedom. That the total freedom is only found there in self-knowledge, knowing atma. There's no other way to do it. Anything else you try, because anything else, to get to some place, anything you get to is going to go. Whatever you go to, the idea, I'm going to go to heaven and stay there forever. What kind of logic is that? Anywhere you go to, going meaning there's change, meaning that any place means there's change. Any limitation is change, so it can't be like that. That doesn't make sense. So it says self-knowledge is the only way. There's no other way, because what happens is, okay, there is infinite unchanging. Can you get to infinite unchanging? It has an address, right? You can put in your address book and get there. That doesn't make sense. So either you're already the infinite unchanging, or you can never be the infinite unchanging. You can't say, I'll get there. That doesn't make sense, right? You can say, yes, my mind is very busy and troubled in this. Yes, I'm going to do some things to make it a little more balanced and less caught up in things, so it's easier for me to look into these things so the instrument is prepared. That's valid. No problem. That's good. But that's not going to take you there. To get somewhere, then that doesn't work. So that's why atma meaning none other than yourself, you know, who you are, the essence that you are, like this. So the issue, though, is then I have confused what that is, right? I confused, and then I want to take on other things from outside and identify with them. That's the idea of taking on a doctrine and identifying with it. Then I take on a doctrine, identify with it, but then I'm just adding something to the persona instead of seeing what's behind the persona. Right? That's why, again, we said anything we take on like that is just, you know, understanding, just a stage to help me to grow, nothing more than that. It's not something that really I can add, that I'll add to this. Then I just have another take on another identity. It's still an identity like this. But the Atma, what I am in essence, like this, that's why so much of the inquiry we have is Atma and Atma Viveka. What am I essentially? And what is am I not essentially? Right? What is not essential is not me, like this, isn't the essence. If you think of it, anything that you have that is binding you a little bit, that you put aside, you feel a little bit freer after that, right? I'm very worried about something, that worry goes away, I feel freer in this way. I have some pain, goes away, okay, I feel freer. So whatever I have that constrains me, when that's gone, when I manage to drop it, not identify with it, then I feel freer. Somebody that I met used to house it somewhere in Northern California, I don't know exactly where. There was a big house, and they had a smaller house there on the plot too, and he stayed in the small house just to take care of the house for the people when they weren't there. And he is an artist. He has had many of his portfolio paintings. I met him in the ashram he gave me years back. Very, very nice drawing made of Hanumanji, like this. And he had a huge collection of spiritual books there. This is before must be 10 years ago or so, a little more. So before all of the forest fires we're getting nowadays. But what happened was there was a forest fire in that area. The police came and told him, you have 1 hour, you have to leave. So he had this huge collection of spiritual books, this he told me. And he couldn't take, you know, he has to leave, he doesn't have time. So his artwork he took, the books, most of them he left, he couldn't take them. And the whole house, everything burnt down, like this. Now, he said, he felt very freed after that. Yes, he had all these books, so wonderful, but all that gone, freed him like this. So many things I have, I hold and identify, when they're not there, it frees me. I feel freer. So everything that is not Atma that I'm carrying is a burden in one way or the other. When I disidentify with it, it frees me. So in the end, the whole idea is to learn what is not. Doesn't mean that all the everything I will. Okay, I need we need a place to stay. Some food. You need some food. Like this, these things are needed. So I don't have to throw all those away. But understand not that I don't not to identify with them. It's not me, not mine. Actually, very interesting. Namama, not mine. This is vairagya. It's not mine. This house isn't mine. It's not mine. Even if my name's on it and everything, tomorrow, it's gone. Who knows what it'll be. This body isn't mine. Like this. Then, not me is viveka. This new car isn't me. Very hard to tell somebody that has a nice, new, expensive car and it gets a scratch on it. Very hard for them to say it's not me. This body isn't me. If this body is me, now when something's not okay in it, I'm still the same worthful being, but I identify with the problem. I'm getting older, so I think I'm getting older. The body's getting older, and I'm getting older. I say I'm getting older. That's the language you use. But what age do you have? When you don't think of body, mind, and this, don't think of body. What age are you? So the difference between Atma, what you are, the essence, and what is temporarily there. So not me as Viveka. Says you want to be free, that's where the freedom lies, in understanding who you are, not in taking up some doctrine. Okay? The doctrine helps you grow, wonderful. But it's a tool, it's not you. Don't have it add something to you. Add something to you, now you're trapped. Helps in some way to pull you forward is good. It starts being a trap, look very closely at it. Learn not to identify with it, because it'll just create more and more of an entrapment, right? Some people, now they're getting older, so a little harder to do, so they can't do the ritual they're used to doing every day. They feel very bad. Oh, I can't do it. What'll happen to me, right? Will the God be angry at me? Like this. And then, so one person used to come to yoga classes. He's a Brahmin, so Hindu, so certain rituals he grew up doing, he does every day in this. So very proper, very good rituals. What happens though, he's not, you know, he grew up learning this, but he does other work, so he's a busy job. So in the morning, he does the puja, but very, very fast everything. He does the whole thing needed, but very fast. So I asked him, I said, you know, if you're doing it very fast, you can't do it the same spirit. Instead of, you know, if you have the short time, don't do the whole thing. Do some of it, but do it with proper spirit in this. No, I can't do like that. Like this. So better to do sloppy and not with the full concentration that the now it's entrapped. So identify as that instead of that something that helps me to grow. That's the warning giving here. And remember what it's all for. It should all serve the purpose of helping me gain the self-knowledge. That's what it's good for. Otherwise, anything that gets in the way is just not going to be helpful, because it will just, you know, pull me in the wrong direction. Help me identify with anatma, with what is not myself, and strengthen that, where the idea should be weaken that identity, weaken the limited identity I have. Learn to put those things aside. That's really where what religion, what doctrines should be for, and not for something else. Okay, helping to free, not to add any bondage like this. So this is what this verse is saying here. And this is something actually which somebody really follows some path really has to look into closely and carefully. Because as Gaudapadacharyas, as he talked about it, which I'd mentioned, we have to really look at it close, examine it some of the time here and there, and, you know, be cautious about it, because it's so easy to build up these identities for ourselves. So yes, so you follow this guru, yes, you follow this system, fine. But it's not you. It's some discipline to help you grow. Nothing more than that. The moment you identify with them, it's a trap. Yes, if I have a strong different identification, it helps to break the previous identification. Very good. Helps to break it. But still, it's just a preliminary identification, not the end. Stepping stone. That also have to go beyond in this way. So this is what this is pointing out in this verse, which is something, again, very important point for any spiritual aspirant to keep in mind like this. So let's finish here today. Om. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Good. So, and thank you very much for joining today. And we'll continue the next week. Okay. Om.
Thank you.
Thank you.